B-O-O-T-E-S, but there's an umlaut on the second O.
What kind of?
Just the two dots above the O.
Sure.
So it's the Germans.
Butters?
But that's, you know what? I like it.
My sister has the two dots on the O in her name.
Okay.
It's pronounced an opposed to okay.
So it's 700 million light years away, right? The Boötes void. It's 250 million light years in diameter.
Sure.
And there's nothing in it. There should be 10,000 in that space.
Yeah.
If you look at other areas of the universe, it is 250 million light years in diameter. On average, there's around 10,000 galaxies. Galaxies.
What?
Not solar systems. Galaxies.
Galaxies.
What are we? How many?
That's such a big question.
I know. What else? excuse my ignorance. How many light years is our diameter, if any? I don't.
Ours is not a light year. Not one light year in diameter, because you could do the circumference of Earth in, you know, a day or so.
Okay.
So we're like a quarter of a light day. I don't know.
Yeah.
But
so what are you saying?
That it's just weird.
It is weird.
Can it?
So like,
can human life survive there?
No. So it's just like, you know, when you look up and you just see stars and stuff. There's nothing there, and it's such a large space of nothing. Now think of like our Milky Way galaxy.
Sure.
Is huge, man. That's got millions of, I think billions of suns.
The fact that we're a speck of dust in the Milky the galaxy.
Yeah. So it should have 10,000 galaxies, right? These massive collections of solar systems and stars. That's just one galaxy. There should be 10,000 of them
inside.
There's nada. There's nothing there. It's just, there's no dark matter. There's no normal matter. Yeah. There's just nothing. So that's, you know.
Where did we hear about this?
So, you know our boss, Rupert Murdoch, don't tell him this, but this is kind of what I do when there's no sport happening. I just go on the YouTube and I look up cool stuff like the Boötes void.
Okay, there you go.
Yeah. It makes up a quarter of a percent of our entire universe, and there's just nothing there.
A quarter of a percent. That's still quite big.
Considering how big the universe
relative
is.
Yeah, every other thing. Percent.
Yeah.
Right.
Empty.
What's going on, everybody? Welcome to another episode of League Pass and Chill. We only have three people today.
Oh,
yeah. Gardy remains in New York City. He covered UFC 230 today, which was a very exciting card. Tom Hanley is also no longer here for today. He's sick at home. That was his line to us.
I can't do it. Tom was cooking up 600 grams of bacon when I left home. He did look ill, but I do not associate the mass eating of bacon with being sick.
It's not like...
He's gonna hate me for doing that, but...
Bacon's not adjacent to chicken.
Our listeners deserve the truth. Our listeners deserve the truth.
That's what we're here for.
Tom may be sick, but he is eating all the bacon.
600 grams of bacon.
Sorry,
okay, so it's fine. So Tom's a liar. Again, this is League Pass and Chill. It's brought to you by Fox Sports Australia. We all work here at Fox Sports Australia. And what a week in the NBA it was. Again, highlighted by all of these 50-point games. Where is this coming from? So first we had Steph Curry. So first we had Blake Griffin back in the day, back in last week, dropping 50. And then we had Steph Curry dropping 51. And then we had Klay Thompson dropping 52, and then out of nowhere, Derrick Rose dropped 50 of his own.
D Rose.
Yeah.
The comeback tour begins.
Okay.
The scenes.
The scenes were very cool.
Yeah.
And the next day he had an ankle injury and is now day to day. So it really dampened quickly.
It could have went either way, right? Because that was Golden State the next day.
Yeah.
Yeah, true.
Yeah, yeah. Imagine if he backed it up with like... Because he scored 28 points the game before the 50-burger.
Yeah.
So if he went three games of being elite, imagine the storylines.
Doing something really good against Steph Curry.
Yeah. I think Dwayne Wade summed it up best, where he just said, no one is rooting against Derrick Rose.
Yeah.
He's been through so...
Leave it.
Are we going to leave it? I'm not going to leave it.
Okay.
Yeah.
No, there were very credible allegations of gang rape against Derrick Rose, and he admitted that he doesn't know what consent is.
That could be because he's not as smart as someone that knows what words. That word
I think
is.
I think ignorance is not a defense.
Yeah, no, against you know, rape, it's not.
Sure.
But I'm saying that just because he doesn't have that word in his lexicon doesn't mean he did it. I'm not saying he did or he didn't. He just, you know, maybe he doesn't know what,
sure,
you know, other words that we know.
Yeah.
Look, there was also the issue of him taking photos with jurors after, you know, after the...
That's problematic.
Oh,
that
God.
Was a bit. But look, I think I'm of the mind that you can have two minds. Yeah. That you're able to say...
Separate this the was, player and...
Athletically, this was a really exciting achievement. The fact that he did what he did, came back from the knee situation that he's had mentally, that's really tough to overcome. But it doesn't excuse the things that he allegedly did that are credible.
May I air my grievances?
Please.
So this went down in 2013, the initial act.
Sure.
Right. It's been in and out of court since. It's gone back to court November 16th.
Right.
The
woman is appealing.
Yeah. Derrick Rose did say that he wishes her all the best. He wishes nothing but good fortune. Okay. Take that with a grain of salt. But the problem is that Derrick Rose has been in the league this whole time, right? Yep. We are only talking about it now. I get that the case is coming back up on the 16th, but now everyone finds their moral compass because he scored 50 points. He was still the same dude when he scored 28 the game before. He was still the same dude when he was struggling at the Knicks with this hanging over his head, but now it's under the microscope because people wanted to give him credit for something he did on the court. Right, so you know, it is weird.
There is this idea of wanting to have this moral high ground and trying to shut down a dude who achieved something really impressive. There's also the case that, you know, no one talks about James Johnson of the Miami Heat, who was charged with domestic violence.
Yeah,
there are things out there that we don't talk about, and then we only talk about them when we want to shut people down.
We want to bring them down.
It matters the weight you carry in the league. We're speaking about it upstairs. In relation to this conversation, the name escapes me now, the Milwaukee Bucks player that got bashed by two
Sterling
police
Brown.
Officers.
Sterling Brown, yeah.
If that had happened to a player that carried more weight in the NBA, it would be more prevalent in the news lines, on Twitter, we'd be talking about it more.
Make
your own decision. If you're someone that wants to attack Derrick Rose, I totally get it. But where were you for the last 6 years? The last 4 or 5 years? You know what I mean? Where was your strong voice then?
Right. That is very legitimate. And, you know, there's also the case of NBA players now who are getting really hyped up about the midterms that are coming up.
I'm all for that.
Yeah, I'm definitely for that.
Beto, baby!
You're right.
Sorry.
No, that early voting in Texas is looking good for Beto.
Yeah.
Not going to count our eggs, but... Yeah. Man, no one likes Ted Cruz.
Even if you don't
know politics, you know that you hate Ted Cruz, which is fun.
Yeah, and you see a picture of him and you know you hate him.
He is a creeper. A couple of things on the D Rose. I'm sure if you listen to NBA podcasts or even American sports podcasts, you've heard this. 653 dribbles for the 50 points.
That's a very Derrick Rose stat line.
Compared to Klay Thompson's, how many was it? A handful?
Touch the ball
for a similar score. It just like... The contrast between those two 50
the two styles of players.
It's excellent, though. I love it.
Oh, it's interesting.
Yeah. Also, there's been 138 50-point games now. And taking into consideration, we've already seen four this year. That could double within 5 or 6 years in a league that is like 50-plus years old.
Yeah, totally.
The scoring.
With the pace picking up, with three-point shooting becoming more prevalent.
Yeah.
We totally could be in store for more 50-point games. But the fact that we saw Blake Griffin drop 50, I think he shot 4 or 6 from downtown in that game a week ago.
Yeah.
Derrick Rose did it. He shot decently from downtown as well. Steph Curry did his thing. Klay did his thing. Like, it seems as though it's just going to continue to happen. Yeah. It's like Derrick Rose is the guy who did what he did and everyone, or as in you got half the population going against him, half of them rallying around him. One who that doesn't happen to is Klay Thompson, who is generally one of the most liked players in the league.
He's a stand-up guy.
Because he's just a chiller who just does his job and then just gets out of there and plays with his dog.
Easy to say now. We're shooting at 17% from three before that game. So, yeah it's a good storyline, but he needed that jolt to feel more a part of the Golden State Warriors' early success, keeping in mind that I think they're, 8-1 at the moment?
Yeah.
50 points is good, but they needed him to find some form. I think we said on this podcast that it was a matter of time before Klay kicked into gear, and it has happened, and look out for the other 29 teams in the NBA because they look unstoppable when they want
they
to play.
They really do, and Boogie's not even there. The thing which annoyed me about Klay's 14 threes, and everyone went nuts about it, he went, 14 threes in a game is a crazy achievement. Even without defense, hitting 14 threes is pretty impressive. Yeah. But
especially because they were chasing it too.
He was pretty much playing without defense.
Yeah,
true.
The Chicago Bulls are
horrible.
The worst defensive team I've ever seen in my life. They're going under screens against the Golden State Warriors. Makes no sense. Four of Klay's threes came when the defender went under a screen.
Yeah.
How are you going under screens against Klay Thompson? Two more came when they're sagging off in the middle. Who is the middle threat for Golden State that you need to sag off Klay Thompson for?
Old mate.
Jordan Bell.
and what about your pride? They're clearly just trying to break a record.
They were clearly
on you,
chasing it. They were just like,
you are pressing him every time he touches the ball, surely.
Yeah. It's insulting. Yeah. You should feel insulted. Act accordingly.
Yeah.
Get some gumption, bro.
What did they put? 90 points in the first half?
Yeah.
91 points.
Points, and then you let someone get a record on you in the third quarter.
Ooh, I feel like that's like that should be the Zach LaVine growth, where he should just say, he should just man up and say, I'm going to guard Klay. You can double him. And we're just going to stop this man from doing this.
Mate, if Zach LaVine guarded Klay Thompson, Klay Thompson would have finished that game with 18 threes.
Come on, I like Zach.
I mean,
Zach LaVine's awesome.
But before
on the offensive end.
Yeah, he can score.
Before we move on from Clay's 50-burger, a question.
Yeah.
If Boogie is fit, is Klay Thompson Golden State's fourth best player?
No.
So you rate Klay Thompson
I saw a tweet of someone say that Klay was their fifth best player.
Some people do have that argument with Draymond.
I think,
obviously.
I honestly think it's KD, Steph, Klay.
Yeah.
Even with a fit Boogie?
The reason, okay, let's just bear with me with this hypothetical for a moment. Let's say Boogie is their third best player. That would mean Klay Thompson, their fourth. Klay Thompson, who statistically, you look at his games where he goes on fire, probably the best heat check player in NBA history, who's potentially their fourth best player. Currently the second best three-point shooter in the NBA, their fourth best player.
Yep.
Currently top three two-way guard in the NBA.
I was about to
their
say.
Their fourth best player.
I honestly think he's the. Is it weird saying? I think he's the best two guard in the NBA.
I think the same.
And he's their fourth best player. It's not fair, man. And some people would say he's fifth. I disagree. I would have him at third because, on any given night, he's guarding Kyrie. He's guarding Lowry. He's Garden, their best player.
He's the matchup against the perimeter threat on every other team.
Yeah.
I think we can't – I feel like we're forgetting that Boogie was the best playmaker on a team with only him and Anthony Davis. He was rebounding everything. He was scoring a lot, and he's still – like, he's going to be the guy that can mark the Embiids, the Davises. He's going to be called on a lot, and I don't know if I can split – Klay and Boogie until we see Boogie play in this offense. He's going to get to do things that he's never done before.
Yeah. True. That's going to be. We're going to see situations where he's like a trailing big pulling up for a three.
Yeah.
Which is going to be really, really unfair.
Yeah.
But I just don't. I entering this season, as in, it, notwithstanding the Achilles injury, I think Boogie is probably the best center in the NBA. Anthony Davis is probably the other one, but he's just a weird. I don't know if.
Yeah,
I feel weird.
He's as much of a power forward as he is.
Yeah.
Right. So I, like Boogie's the best, I'd say, quote unquote, traditional big man in the NBA, as much as he's really not now because he stretches and hits threes and stuff.
He can arm wrestle Embiid for that position.
Yeah, I don't know if how, you know, effective he is defensively relative to guys like Clay and Draymond Green, obviously. So I don't know if I'd put him as far as better than Clay, which again, it's weird comparing positions as well.
Yeah, really hard to compare the two. But
so just real quick, when you think of that team, you got Kevin Durant, who's the second best small forward in the league. Steph Curry, who's arguably the best point guard in the league. Klay Thompson, who's arguably the best two man in the league. Draymond, arguably the best defender in the league.
The best Swiss Army knife for sure, Draymond.
Yep. Sean Livingston, perfect role player.
Yeah.
Then you've just got athletic bigs, and then
Iggy.
And then Iggy. Jeez. I forgot about Andre Iguodala, Finals MVP.
Only a Finals MVP, exactly right.
Yeah, multiple All-Star.
The thing is, we know how crazy this team has been. This team for so long.
Yeah.
I don't know why it's just now. We're just putting it all in perspective now.
Because you can go for a week where Curry drops 51, Durant drops 41, Clay drops 52, and then Curry goes for 37 and 9 the next game.
Pretty sure KD still dropped 34 in that game when Steph dropped 51 as well.
Dropped 30.
Jeez.
Actually,
that was Steph's night.
Steph's night. And I'm just going to read some stats from that night because that night was insane. 15 from 24 from the field, 11 of 16 from three, 10 from 10 from free throw in 32 minutes. So he's not even playing big minutes. He scored 16 points in a two and a half minute stretch. That is absurd.
Yeah.
He's the eighth player in history with 54 points on 24 or less shots. He's fifth in 3 points made after that game. So I'm not sure. He might have climbed by then. He's fifth all-time after that game. He's 811 three-pointers behind Ray Allen in half the games. Ray Allen is arguably one of the better shooters in history.
No, top five. Top three.
Top three, and did it. Has done that in half the games, and he's on track for a 50-50-90 season so far.
Yum.
Dang.
Only one other person has done that.
Who is it?
Steve Kerr. His in 1996, playing with Michael Jordan with a usage rate of under 12.
Okay.
Steph Curry's usage rate is over 30.
Same, but different, as they say in the Philippines. Same, but different.
That 51 is by far the best 50 of the season.
I think so.
That's insane.
Better than Clay's. Dang.
Because of the Bulls' garbage defense.
Better than Derrick Rose? Career high in dribbles?
Definitely not as emotional. Nowhere near as emotional. Before we continue with the pod, I've got some house cleaning to do, boys.
Oh.
So bear with me. I kept on referring to the Sacramento Kings as the Smelly Kings.
Yeah.
I said the Kings would slide into the Sacramento River before they became a viable franchise.
What are they at the
they're
reporting
at,
this?
They're four, at four. 6-3 with a 5-game win streak. So to that, you know, to the off chance someone from Sacramento is listening to it. or, you know, there may be a fan. You know, I went for the LA Rams in the NFL for years when they stunk. So there's a chance there's a Kings fan out there.
Sure. Northern Californians.
I'm sorry. Oh. They're good now, you know, and they're the second fastest team in terms of pace of play. So,
their pace is crazy.
Yeah.
And also, this one stings, but I said, keep in mind I'm a Kevin Love fan and I like what Kevin Love can do.
Also keep in mind all of the things we said as far as the first few weeks of the season, we very acknowledged that it was the first few weeks of the season.
Yeah. I've got them all written down though.
I said the Cavs would be flirting with
everyone accountable to this.
I said the Cavs would be flirting with 500 come Christmas, and I couldn't be more wrong. If Kevin Love was there, they might be like, you know, 3-5 or something.
I mean, he was there for the first three and they lost.
Yeah, okay. But he got injured in one of those.
Remember when Tristan Thompson said that, you know, you have to go through.
He did. Yeah, so, you know, I was the only person in the Southern Hemisphere that took him at his word. Thanks, Christian.
You
left me on an island, literally.
It was one of the stupidest things I've ever heard.
Yeah.
Oh, you heard Utah will be number one.
Yeah, I did.
Mm.
They turned out to be not great.
No.
Well, as in, like, I still like them.
Yeah.
They're the only team that's beaten Golden State, but they can't put it together.
They didn't beat Golden State.
Who beat Golden State?
They got
Denver.
Denver beat. But Utah got close,
my bad.
But then didn't.
That's the one.
So weigh that up.
That's the one. Denver, Denver are looking like that second team at the moment. Yeah.
Denver look really good.
On a 4-game win streak, 8-1 for the season.
Jokic doing what he's doing. Gary Harris, he's like a star.
Jokic had a double-double today without scoring. He had 7 points.
Yeah, Jokic.
15 assists.
Jokic is super effective. He helps that team win, but not superstar numbers. You know, like he's only averaging 19 points a game, which I thought was surprising.
I think with their backcourt, with their depth, I don't think he needs to be a guy that's averaging.
Just needs to be a presence.
Yeah, he just needs to be a presence. And if he can average more assists than any center that's come before him, which is a very high chance.
Yeah.
He's still very, very effective. And Gary Harris, Jamal Murray, they can score. Michael Porter, who knows when he comes back. But
solid unit.
They've got some depth. And I don't think he needs to be a 25 and 15 guy for them to be a really, really good team.
That's the biggest luxury as well. If you're Mike Malone, he's the head coach of the Nuggets.
Yeah.
You know, if you have this dude who can drop a 30-point triple-double, but you don't need him to do that.
Yeah.
And he's the most unselfish, arguably, one of the most unselfish players in the league.
You know who is creeping up in unselfish big men?
Who?
Plumlee. Playing behind him, he made some really nice backdoor reads. Like Gary Harris, Jamal Murray would pass to him and then just backdoor, and he's got that bounce pass into the key down to a fine art.
I feel like Malone's just drilled that into this team as far as movement, you know, on and off the ball, that sort of thing. And it's just working because if you have smart dudes like Gary Harris and Jamal Murray, who I still think Jamal Murray is going to be one of the best guards in the NBA. I just like his game.
Do you reckon Isaiah Thomas is going to affect that at all when he comes back?
Well, everyone else is bought in to what's happening there, so I'd be surprised if Isaiah
especially because he signed there. Surely there was a conversation.
Even in Boston where they moved the ball quite well, he was shooting a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah, but he knows he's not going to start on this team.
Yeah.
He can...
Man, I saw him on Coldest Balls that...
Kevin Hart Show.
Kevin Hart Show. But Isaiah Thomas is delusional.
Yeah. Okay.
He thinks he's one of the best point guards in the NBA.
Yeah.
But I don't know if that's like small man syndrome or if it's just someone being super confident in himself.
Well, it's definitely that.
As in, if I was, I think I'm the best journalist in the country.
Yeah.
Well, but like, I'm not gonna think that I'm not.
Yeah.
I'm gonna act as though I am and do my best to be it.
To be top echelon, you need to think you're the actual best.
Right.
Yeah. I get that.
It's part delusion and
to
part
be a role player. You need to understand that you are not that and you have a role and you can be the best in the world at filling your role. Hey, you so laugh.
Stay in your lane.
Totally true, but it's so patronizing.
Dennis Rodman made a career, got to the Hall of Fame at being the best in the world at filling his role.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's like one of the best rebounders and defensive players of his generation, at least. And look, you know, mighty fine in a dress.
Yeah,
and now he fills the role of Secretary of State.
Oh, my God.
How good?
Is this real?
I don't know. Donald Trump, Dennis Rodman.
Is this happening? Yeah.
I think we have a prime minister at the moment. I'm not sure.
So, speaking of Trump, the Wizards.
Okay.
The Wizards.
I like that. They live in the same state.
Washington Wizards.
Same district.
Sorry. What is the worst thing in Washington, the Wizards or Donald Trump?
Oh good question. But it's actually not a conversation. It's Donald Trump, obviously.
Wizards should be blaming everything on Trump. They should be like, man, how can we work in these conditions?
Yeah.
Oh, we did live down the road from Bedlam.
So the Wizards have lost 5 in a row?
They stink, mate.
They're the smelly Wizards.
And some of their losses have not been pretty. They beat someone good for their win. Is that right?
They got that win really early on.
So I've got it here. Smashed by the Thunder. The Thunder put 134 points on them. Beat by the Grizzlies.
Was that the no Westbrook Thunder?
No. Westbrook played.
Sorry. They beat them. You're right. Sorry, that's my bad.
So the Clippers put 136 on the Wizards. The Kings, which is not a bad loss all of a sudden. They beat them. True. Warriors put 144 on the Wizards. Their one win was a 1-point win over the Portland Trail Blazers. That was on the road. So, you know, it's just L after L. A loss to the Heat isn't pretty.
I think a like you're reading some of the scores going up against them, 144, 144, 139 or something. And I think Dwight is going to help that a little bit.
As demonstrated in his first game for the team.
That first quarter, Dwight Howard looked elite.
On the offensive end?
The first quarter.
On the offensive end.
Yeah.
But right. Yeah, okay, that's one game though. Like he is historically, and I guess we know I'm an Orlando Magic fan, so I hate Dwight, but he is an elite rebounder, rim protector.
He still puts up good numbers.
Any fitness.
Yeah.
As long as he's on the court, he's getting rebounds and he's affecting shots. Like, you're not driving into the paint if Dwight Howard can step across.
Sure. I don't think he fixes any of their issues, though.
Oggs, who would you trade if you had to trade Wall or Beal? Who would you get rid of?
Wall.
Wall? Because you get more for him or because you think he's more of a problem?
Both. And I think you get more for him. He has an ego, and that's a warranted ego. He's a very, very good player.
So fast.
I just think you need a player that fits a system a bit more. Granted, I don't know what Scott Brooks' system is.
Yeah.
On either end.
They have no system at the moment.
Because it's not just Wall and Beal. They've got some other good pieces there as well.
I really like Otto Porter.
Yeah.
And they paid him a lot because they had to pay him a lot. But I still think he has a potential to be, you know, not a superstar wing, like a star wing in the NBA. And I don't know why they don't lean on him a bit more the way that, you know, the Celtics lent on
And he's the only one that seems to try all the time. Like, when he's on the court, he looks like he's trying.
Right.
Yeah. But Tatum is an effortless scorer.
I'm not saying I'm not saying they're the same player. I just feel like they have similar bodies. They have similar games. I feel like the Wizards should focus on going into him a little bit more. Focus on him being potentially the man.
Otto Porter,
I think he has potential.
He's still young enough to take a leap as well. Remember Victor Oladipo? We all consider him a superstar now, but he wasn't this time last year. He only took his leap last year.
Yeah.
So, and they came through, I'm pretty sure, Oggs, they were in the same draft, Oladipo and Otto Porter. So he's at that age where there's still room for him to grow, I think. But it does have to happen over the next 18 months or so because, you know, at around 26, 27, yeah, it's kind of who you are.
Yeah.
Right. When you're 27, 28, it's rare someone makes a giant leap past those years. But I've still got up for that. He's tall and he can shoot. What are you going
to
do?
Look, and again, I know it's early, and Ty Lue was the first coach to get axed, and we haven't talked about it because it's just not a story because it didn't really hit the news cycle that much. Like, it happened, and then like everyone's just forgotten about it. But I feel like Scott Brooks is the next coach on the hot seat.
What about Lakers?
I feel like that's overblown a little bit.
Do you think that's a distraction to take the focus off the actual young team and LeBron?
I don't think it's because of that.
Well, it works though.
A little, you know, like, I mean, that worked. I don't know if it's a good distraction though. If you're a young team, is that a healthy thing to have?
Especially if you like the coach.
I don't think it adds to the narrative of the Lakers though. Like, there is a narrative following LeBron James that he's uncoachable. And you don't want to fuel that fire by saying, oh, you know what, Luke Walton can't control
If you had to set odds at what the chances of Ty Lue coaching LA Lakers after January 10th next year?
Oh, I'd say...
Can I say 0%?
Yeah, 0%. I was going to say below zero.
Right. I hope you're right.
I don't think Ty Lue is going to get another head coaching job.
I don't... What has he shown? What has he shown? He won a championship, kind of.
That's something.
Yeah,
but you know, he hasn't shown enough to say he isn't a good coach as well. Like 6-7 games into this season, after just losing the best player in the universe, but it's not really fair to sack him.
I don't think it was fair to sack him.
I don't think so.
I just don't think he's demonstrated himself to be a quality coach in the NBA. Just like, and let's do an NBL comparison. Andrew Gaze hasn't shown himself to be a quality coach at this level.
Cares heaps.
Sure, totally. He wears his heart on his sleeve. But has he demonstrated himself to do anything legitimate as a head coach? No. I don't know if we'd count Ty Lue as doing that. I don't know what he's done that's really groundbreaking other than retained LeBron for a moment and then lost him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And get stepped over by AI.
No one ever forgets Ty.
I really hope he's listening to this from his from his home.
From the unemployment couch. Sorry.
He's owed $50 million. He going to be okay.
Yeah, he'd be fine.
Yeah, little tie. Good on him.
Speaking of the Lakers, they went through some situations where they imploded at the end of a lot of games. They got the win today against the Trailblazers, which was a good win.
Back-to-back for the first time this season, I think?
No, they definitely got back-to-back wins earlier. They got have one set of them.
So they're coming in bunches.
Yeah, and this was a good win because this was away at the Blazers, and then they have another away game for their next game against another good Western Conference team. Oh, I think it's a Western Conference team. It's against another good team. But they're about to pick up Tyson Chandler, according to Mark Stein at the New York Times.
That's handy.
Tyson Chandler is a good, I think he's a really good pickup for that team.
I think he's a brilliant pickup. You're looking at a team which they needed a backup center, and they needed a backup center badly, and they need a defensive voice because JaVale McGee is not that defensive voice.
Although he's blocking a lot. He's leading the league in blocks.
He's blocking a lot, but is he going to...
He's not your anchor?
Yeah, is he going to keep the wing structured in defense? No.
Tyson Chandler's 36.
He can, though. He can do it.
But he's still Tyson Chandler. Like, he still knows what he's doing.
Yeah.
It helps.
But LeBron James recently said that JaVale McGee should be in contention for Defensive Player of the Year.
Can't say no. He's getting rebounds and he's blocking shots.
Right.
But that's all the award is. It's who 3.2
blocks a game. You take that.
Ceremonial.
Yeah, it's stats.
That's true.
You take that.
But Tyson Chandler on this team, like, I like the idea of Lonzo starting with this team that's around him, or that LeBron and the team that's around him. And then this bench having Rajon Rondo, Kentavious Caldwell-Pope.
And a veteran that doesn't have the stigma of being a complete fruit loop either.
Right. He's this dude who's just... He was a cool toilet. Being a dude who just threw down alley-oops from Steve Nash sometimes.
Yeah.
So who do you have as their starting lineup now?
So their starting lineup is... Lonzo. Josh Hart. Brandon Ingram. Kuz? Am I missing something? JaVale McGee.
And LeBron.
Yeah, did I miss LeBron?
You missed LeBron.
Okay. Yeah, you only missed LeBron, man.
LeBron James.
Good note.
So McGee instead of... I mean, sorry, King instead of Hart or Kuz? Starting side.
Instead of Hart.
Okay.
Because even though I really like Josh Hart there, I like the idea of Kuz starting.
And especially with LeBron.
Then Josh Hart comes off the bench like he did today at either from 2 to 4, either of those, any of those positions, because he played the 4 really well today and locked down Zach Collins. So Harrison is a renowned Zach Collins fan.
Well,
then his eyes are in the back of his head.
Kid's a beast. He's going to be a star.
He's really good. Someone should get him moisturizer for here, under his eyes.
For his eyes?
Yeah. Okay. Just get a little bit, just because he's got some blackness under there.
Anyway, back to
maybe
the Lakers.
Maybe it's more sleep.
He needs it. But no, the Lakers, do you think this will change them much? Again, it's very early and we're still yet to see, you know, their true potential.
Well, they're so bad defensively that it can't hurt them.
Yeah. You know, I remember the 2011 Mavericks that won the championship, and there was a mic'd up, you know how ESPN do those mic'd up things? And Tyson Chandler was mic'd up for one of the games. He does not stop talking. He's constantly calling out screens. He's constantly calling out positional plays.
That's good.
He's constantly calling out help. That is only going to be a benefit, and that's probably only gone up more, seeming he's lost a bit of that athleticism, and he's a little bit older.
Yeah.
So he's great pickup.
And on the offensive end, his whole career has been around him being this complimentary big man. He's never wanted to really be the go-to guy.
No.
I think that's just the perfect thing for this team. He's also going home. He played in Compton. Like, this is his home, which is very cool. I think that's a nice thing.
And he might get 4-6 points a game, just LeBron dives and drives and just dumps it off to him for a dunk.
Just think of every alley-oop that JaVale McGee has.
Yeah.
Like, some of it comes from just his freak athleticism, but a lot of it is just general pick and roll and him being open and LeBron finding him.
Yeah.
That's very cool. Speaking of big men, and I'm really good at my segues today, Joel Embiid has been balling out.
Oh, yeah.
The last two games he's been averaging 40 points, probably around 15 rebounds. Today he had 39 and 17.
19.
And 19.
39 and 19.
Against the Pistons. Destroyed Andre Drummond.
8-6,
Drummond.
For the second game in a row individually between those two.
8 points, 9 boards, Drummond.
8-9.
And then he jumped on Twitter afterwards, talked about how he continues to own real estate, Andre Drummond said.
I believe him.
Called him a bum.
Bum.
Oh,
did you see the
come
did
on,
you, did
come
you
on,
see
Joel.
The video?
Bub is the most underrated.
He posted a video of Andre Drummond doing the Dougie, I think. Yeah. And like with the caption, my mood.
That's funny. He is funny.
He's very funny.
He's very funny. Like he's the I think he's the best trash talker in the league at this point.
By far. Yeah.
Because he's very Conor McGregor-y, where he'll trash talk a lot, and then after a game, win or lose, he'll give props to whomever.
Yeah, beat incredibly
him.
Humble.
Yeah, and that's a very Conor McGregor thing to do.
Yeah, he is having an elite season. 29.5 points a game. He's only shooting 31% from three, but you'll take that if it equates to 29.5 points, 12.5 rebounds. Sneaky 3.5 assists as well, and that is in 34 minutes. You like that?
Yeah, he's a freak of nature, hey.
He you like
really
that?
Is.
And the Sixers are above 500 again.
The
We're
Sixers.
Not talk about Ben Simmons because Ben Simmons has not been.
He did. They were so far ahead all of that game that it was never emergency stations. It was never.
Yeah.
That Ben didn't need to be elite today for them to win, and it looked like that was the case the whole game. I will say Sixers 6-0 at home, 0-4 on the road.
Yep.
You know, I'll do the maths. That sounds like a 500 season. If they continue down that stretch, they need to get better on the road, and they could be considering Fultz is improving a little bit.
Yeah.
You know, he's averaging 10 points this season. Off the bench, leading the second unit, I kind of like that. JJ Redick has the most points, most three-pointers made out of anyone starting off the bench. So they're starting to build towards they won't be that team that we saw with a 17-game win streak at the end of last year because of Bellinelli and
Ilyasova.
Exactly. Right. Like they're a different looking team, but they are building something there, and the gap between them and Toronto and the Celtics doesn't look as large as it was only 10 days ago or so.
Yeah, if Marco Fultz can jump into that role.
He's so fast, man.
He did
it
last game
fast.
Where he had a little portion where he took over, which I don't think we've seen yet. There was one game last season where he had a triple-double, and I think he took over that game. We haven't seen that this season, which we were hoping to, considering he's a starting point guard now.
If he lifts a little bit, as you're saying, and Saric gets back to that form that everyone knows he's capable
even
of.
Even like a bit closer to that form.
Yeah,
Saric, he doesn't look comfortable shooting the three. He wants to pass it.
He looks just really tired.
Yeah, he does. Like, unfit. Like, he...
Yeah. Like, he played for Croatia in you know, the FIBA tournaments in the summer. I get that. There was an interesting take out there where should they consider resting Saric for a few games and putting JJ Redick in the starting lineup?
I reckon it should run.
Yeah.
Push the ball, see what happens, and then Saric will come back fresh. And he can just capture a little bit of that form. Fultz, Saric, Simmons, Embiid, that gap between those top few teams in the East, Bucks, Raptors, Celtics, Pacers, that's small. That's now five or six teams looking for that playoff spot.
Especially because the Raptors have looked really, really good. I think the Sixers did an okay job at competing with them, considering where the Raptors were looking, how the Raptors were looking at that point, and how the Sixers weren't looking. Like the Sixers weren't looking great heading into that game, and they competed decently. The Raptors were looking really good heading into that game between the two, and they were looking good heading in. So I imagine, you know, down the line this season, if those two, I think they can even out a little bit. The Celtics have looked a bit suspect, and the Pacers, I don't think, have yet to show, other than today.
Celtics will be fine. They've got the best defense in the league.
Celtics should be fine.
They'll win games just based on their defense, and then you're talking about a 7-game series and tipping against the best defense with Brad Stevens as coach.
I just think they've looked suspect enough to think that the Raptors of the world or potentially the Sixers or Pacers of the world can maybe compete in a 7-game series. Right. Maybe.
Do you have an issue with Hayward scoring 4 points in 26 minutes?
No, I don't.
Still early doors?
Was that today?
Yeah, today.
In
the loss versus the Pacers.
No, look, I'm okay with it, just considering how much talent they have across the board.
Yeah.
Like, I get him not scoring that because he's not asked to.
I said this last week. They're a team where their success will come from every player from 1 to 8 getting 8 to 10 shots with someone stepping up each night. Kyrie hitting some shots, Tatum, Brown. Marcus Morris looks brilliant.
Yeah.
Like I don't think there'll be games where those guys can score 4, 6, do nothing. We saw it with Jaylen Brown. Jaylen Brown started the season really, really slow.
Yeah.
He's up that scoring a little bit now. I don't think anyone having a bad game on that team is something to stress about.
No. Ideally, considering he's a guy who can drop 20 a game,
yeah,
it would be nice to see him get 15 on a consistent basis. And I do think that would probably propel this team to a different level.
Mm.
Just if you know you're getting that out of him consistently. Because the idea is, they defensively, you know what you're getting out of this team. It's just offensively now, which is surprising considering the talent they have. You're not 100% sure what you're going to get. Even though you know you have the talent.
In the game today against the Pacers, they ran the same play back to back to back, three times, I think, got three threes out of it. And it was Hayward catches the ball at the top. Marcus Morris comes over, sets a screen,
yep.
Barely sets a screen, and then flashes to the other wing. If the defenders follow him, Hayward's still got the ball, and he comes back and does it again. And it's kind of put the ball in Hayward's hands, let him make a play. If he doesn't, the defense is slowly going to sag towards Hayward because you're not chasing Marcus Morris wing to wing thinking he's going to shoot.
Right.
And he did.
23 points today.
And he knocked them all down. And that's just Hayward commands defense, passes off. He's an unselfish player, and he always has been. I don't think that he's scoring.
Okay, so because Hayward doesn't care that he only scored 4 points, we shouldn't care that he only scored 4 points.
Well, I don't know that, but I assume he didn't care.
Yeah, no, I buy that. Yeah. But, yeah, Marcus Morris, 23 points today.
Yeah. Awesome game.
Who thunk it?
However, didn't get the win because of Depot.
Yeah, 24-12.
That big shot. And the Pacers, all of us, it just needed that win for us to think that the Pacers are legit.
Yeah. I mean, Pacers are sitting at 7-3. Celtic could have went to outright third, but they didn't. They're sitting at 6-3. But I thought Tyreek, 17 points,
yeah,
big in that game for the Pacers. And they need that kind of support as well if they're going to continue to roll with the top four of the Eastern Conference.
I mean, he was doing that last year.
Yeah.
And, you know, those.
And it paid off.
Oh, totally. And he got paid, and he's going to definitely do that again this year. He's just his re-emergence into a shooter. So he was a shooter in high school, and then he just didn't shoot it as much in college and his first few years in the NBA. And now he's just picked that up again, and I think that's really helped the team.
I think he went away from the shooting when he did come into the NBA. He's 6'5", 6'6".
6'5".
And they chucked him at point.
He's a monster getting to the rim. His ability to finish around the rim.
Yeah.
Before everyone saw Kyrie doing what he was doing, like, Tyreek Evans is just amazing.
Like, he came into the league 6'6", before there were really the big point guards. Exploding to the rim, got there easily, and averaged 25-5.
I like him.
In a rookie year. I'm a big Tyreek Evans fan. And he will come into a role and come into his own on this Pacers offense, and he will start taking a little bit of the ball handling out of Victor Oladipo's hands.
It's only a small sample size, but if you look at the leaders from the East and the West, I like that there's a couple of, you know, doing air quotes here, small market teams.
Yeah.
Pacers in third, Bucks in second. In the East, and then in the West, Nuggets second. Wait, just let me. Are my eyes working? Just let me continue to look at this longer. Grizzlies fourth.
Yeah.
Grizzlies fourth, 5-2. Remember everyone at the start of the year? Oh, they need to trade Gasol. And, okay. Good call, Bozo.
Had a big win over the Jazz this week.
Yeah.
Mike Conley is looking like an all-star point guard. That's so weird to say.
Again, you know, it's a sample size, but the sample we have suggests Memphis have started the season really good. 5-2, you take it.
Mm.
And cool. Then, yeah, Portland 5th, Kings 6th, it's really good. And then, you know, a couple of the teams historically that are always there, Mavericks 14th, Rockets 13th.
Pelicans.
5 in a row. They started the season so hot.
We were talking about them as like legitimate, not content, like, you know, Western Conference contenders, I guess.
Yeah, but now the talk about Anthony Davis being traded to Boston or LA is going to heat up unless they start winning. And even if they do, given Davis' new agent, the talk will continue, but they need to win to quell that chat for sure.
One of the worst teams in the league, Atlanta Hawks. Got a big performance out of Trae Young today.
Ooh,
yeah, got him real late in our fantasy draft.
15.
Yeah.
And, yeah, it was like they're actually grinding out wins, Atlanta. Down the stretch, like, they're not a good team, but down the stretch they've been really, really good.
considering they're going to tank and they're going to be in the lottery.
Yeah.
Like I said, this is the art of tanking. This is how you want to tank. You know, some splash. They've got a new arena. There's an excuse to go to the game if you're an Atlanta fan. I know
the barber.
Yeah, they do have a barber. You can get a haircut
there.
But they've got all the insanities. They've got Lynn Sanity, Len Sanity, Vin Sanity.
What was the name of that jam again?
Old mate. You know I wrote it down that day, bro.
Yeah, I remember.
Oh, Schleck.
Schlenk.
Schlenk?
Schlenk.
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 Yeah. Yeah, it was fun to say.
Yeah.
That's what I remember.
Sorry, guys.
No, you're good.
No,
in
good save.
The year to tank.
Travis Schlenk.
This is it.
Yeah.
Now, Oggs is the man to talk to when you're thinking college, when you're thinking high school basketball. And
good
Duke,
segue.
Kentucky.
Yeah.
Starting off the season, you've got three potential top 10 picks in the NBA draft.
Added. In Duke alone, I think you've got three legitimate top five picks,
which is
incredible. So you've got RJ Barrett, who I think will be the number one pick.
Yeah,
you have Zion Williamson.
Yeah,
who everyone knows about Zion because of his mixtapes. He's legitimately very good. His role in the NBA is still interesting. It's kind of up in the air, but it's probably more set right now considering the way teams are playing. And then you have Cam Reddish. So basically, you have three guys who are built like wings. One of them plays like a big man, the other plays like a guard, and the other one's a kind of a traditional wing.
And we're talking 6'7", 6'7", 6'8".
Yeah, I think Zion's like 6'6", but he plays like a big man, which is incredible. He's just an unbelievable athlete. RJ Barrett is just the best all-round player in this upcoming draft.
You got a comparison incredible. For the listeners out there?
Ooh, don't do that to me. So Zion, Harrison.
Zion, Charles Barkley.
Oh,
come on now.
But he's like huge. Much more athletic.
Does he look like a Michelin man or?
He's 285.
Okay, that's healthy.
He is a monster, yeah. Cam Reddish is your, I think he's just your traditional wing. So I don't know how you want to, I don't want to say Otto Porter because he's not, but as in that Otto Porter's built like a prototypical small forward in the NBA.
Yeah,
a dude who can cut to the rim, who can shoot the three ball, who can handle the ball when he needs to, can go coast to coast, get rebounds. I think he's just that traditional wing. RJ Barrett is just your ideal combo guard. So he can run the point, he can shoot it. If I'm going to compare him to someone, it's like a think of like a James Harden-y, CJ McCollum. Just a traditional. Kind of combo guy.
But elite. We're expecting him to be elite in the first three or four
years. I think he's the number one pick.
Okay.
Are there any defensive issues with those three?
Well, so Zion's an interesting one because he's so athletic, but what position does he guard? He's listed at 6'7". I think he's 6'5", 6'6".
Is there a position he couldn't guard, though?
Well, so that's the thing. That's the thing. He's got a lot of potential on that end.
Yeah.
The other two are generally fine guarding their respective positions. But the reason Zion could translate to the NBA so well is because the NBA is positionless now. And so just look at the Bucks. You've got, like, Giannis is your point. You just have to put guys out there and get them to run a system. So that's where Zion can fit really well. So Duke opens the season against Kentucky. Kentucky has a guy like AJ Montgomery, this 6'10 wing. He played right after Ben Simmons at Montverde.
Okay.
So they came up at the same school. They've got guys like Quade Green, Emmanuel Quickley, just really solid guards. But I think the X factor is Reed Travis. So Reed Travis played last year at Stanford. He's a fifth-year senior.
This.
Which is, so he's an
Get
old
a job, bro.
So he's an older dude, but he is a monster. He monstered the Pac-12 last year.
Big guy?
6'8".
Yeah.
Just the most muscly dude you'll ever see. He's a football player, basically.
Okay. Are we airing this game on Fox Sports?
Foxtel is.
Foxtel, yeah.
Sweet. And we are under the umbrella of Fox Sports.
So and it I will can't be airing say on, that without getting in trouble.
It will be airing. At the name of this podcast is League Pass and Chill. It'll be airing on ESPN or ESPN2, one of those, but one of our Foxtel channels. So get ahead and go and watch that.
Even if you don't like college basketball, if you like watching the future of the NBA develop in front of your eyes, get around it.
So we're going to quickly touch on the Australians as well, but I wanted to say the first time I watched RJ Barrett play in person was 2016. So 2 years ago, more than 2 years ago. I was in Zaragoza. Zaragoza. This is a little...
Zaragoza.
It's a little town in Spain.
Mm.
2.5-hour train...
La-dee-da. Listen to this.
No. 2.5-hour train ride from Barcelona.
Okay.
Barcelona.
It's just us. You can just say Barcelona.
Yeah. Barcelona. And it's the most beautiful city in the world, and RJ Barrett just balled out at this tournament. It was the FIBA Under 17 World Championships. And I can tell you straight up, he's legit. Harrison, do you like Zaragoza?
Oh, I have been to Zaragoza and had a very different experience to you.
I had a great experience. Had nice octopus.
Oh, God.
Mm.
I was in 48 degree heat. My accommodation had no aircon. My thongs were melting to the black tile of the main strip.
Diddums.
And then I got the worst food poisoning I've ever had in my life for 4 days. I could not eat, dropped 6.5 kilos because of a lamb in Zaragoza.
So no gusta Spain.
So I'm glad RJ Barrett escaped without losing 6.5 kilos.
So I went to a cute little pub in Zaragoza. Zaragoza.
Of course you did.
With a few college coaches. One of them spoke Spanish. He ordered us this feast.
Yep.
We had grilled octopus. It was the most tender octopus I've ever had. Just some mozzarella. It was just the best meal
time to be alive.
Maybe ever had. So Zaragoza, if you can get out there, it's a lovely place.
And then don't go there. Anyway, more Australians.
I like Spain.
I had to bring that up because I know that triggers Harrison a little bit.
You were saying we're going to talk about some Aussies, mate.
Yep. So someone who was a Zaragoza was Cody Statman.
Mm-hmm.
He's about to suit up for Virginia, which is a really, really cool place for him. He's like this. He's a 6'7" long wing. We'll see if he can play. You know, in Virginia, you know, you'll play if you can D up. He's kind of thin, so we'll see if he can get minutes there. But if he does, I think he'll be really interesting. He's an interesting guy to look at. You know, over the next few years, I think his potential is really high.
And where's he from in regards to
he's
Australia?
From Queensland.
Okay.
They're a NCAA tournament shout, yeah?
Probably. Virginia, yeah. Almost definitely. Another one is Miami. So Miami has a few Australians on it. You've got Dejan Vasiljevic.
You.
I imagine he starts at the two spot. He's just he's a knockdown shooter. He's an awesome rebounder for his size. 6'2", 6'3", shooting guard. But he's a monster. He's dropped a lot of weight, which is cool. He played in front of Lonnie Walker last season, but then he played behind him because they needed to get Lonnie Walker's stock to go up. He played behind Bruce Bowen Jr., who's now in the NBA technically.
Yeah.
And so, you know, there's a spot open for him to kind of dominate at Miami. So let's hope he does. I feel like he could be the leading scorer amongst all Australians.
Any of these Aussies in with a shot of being drafted at any stage?
I don't think so.
Okay.
So
watch him now while you still can.
I think a lot of these guys will be pros. I don't think any are going to get drafted this coming draft. But also at Miami, you've got Dan Gak, big guy. Originally from Egypt, actually, you know, from South Sudan. Then he came to Sydney, so he's a Sydney guy out of Blacktown. Tanner Krebs is the guy to look at St. Mary's, I think. A lot of Australians there. They've lost Emmett Nahr. They lost Jock Landale. I think Tanner Krebs is the man to see there.
Good name. Did you say Tanner Krebs?
Tanner Krebs.
Ooh-wee.
Yeah.
He's a good name.
out of Tasmania. He's really cool.
Tanner Krebs from Tassie.
If you like names, look out for Kwat Noi.
Kwat Noi.
Kwat Noi at Yumcha the other day, bro. I'll have three dumplings. The Kwat Noi.
So Kwat Noi also
and a ton of crabs.
Kwat Noi also out of. I'm trying to give you a lot of serious content. Kwat Noi also out of South Sudan. If I'm correct, I think grew up in Newcastle.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, he's a really solid wing. I think he's a shout for the NBA in a few years. His 3-point jumper really picked up a lot, I think. 6'7". I like his game. Someone who's similar to him is Lat Mayen. They go to the same school. Lat, also from South Sudan. Similar situation, similar styles of play.
Can I take us on a tangent with those two South Sudanese players?
Sure.
I know in Newcastle there's a large pocket of Sudanese immigrants, which you know, which is great because Sudan have had their struggles over the years. you know, and we don't. So why not move over here? But the price that it costs to play basketball as a junior in Australia, do we have a problem with that? Because I just feel there's a wealth of talent that we're missing out on, right? If
this just is give a podcast of its own, man.
We'll brush over it, right? But just give more basketballs to these kids and see what they can do, because there's a lot of talent that we're missing out on just because it costs so much to play.
Everything in Australia is so overregulated, and sport is one of the things that's losing out badly, because every club needs to have ridiculous insurance for every player. Every field needs stitch to be up. Perfect. And to the point where you're talking registration fees are a couple hundred dollars a year.
Yeah. Let the kids play. Sorry.
Let the kids play.
No. That's a legitimate conversation, and a lot of college coaches I've spoken with have spoken about the fact that, you know, there is this wealth of South Sudanese talent, you know, from South Sudan especially, it's what is now South Sudan, in this country, that's just not being exposed, because we're probably the only Western country, I think, that requires people to pay to play sports.
And it's hefty.
Right.
Yeah, it's not true.
So in the US, for example, you can come from a lower socioeconomic area and still play basketball.
Because they want to cultivate that talent.
Right. And it creates opportunities. It just creates a whole human being, a wholesome person. It's only a good thing.
And you're integrating, you know, those kids with Australians, is presumed.
Right. And so, for example, in Melbourne, instead of fear-mongering about South Sudanese teenagers, why not open up pathways for them to potentially earn scholarships to the legitimate universities in the United States?
There could be a tennis player out there that could knock Nick Kyrgios off.
Hey.
We would never have to deal with him again.
Again, there's another podcast.
Yeah. Again, we've seen the likes of Thon Maker and, you know, Luol Deng is from Sudan, or like what is now South Sudan.
Even in what the AFL, Majak Dor. Yeah.
You know, exactly.
Players that do get support, there's just a chance. Let's be real. They're just freak athletes a lot of the time. So,
totally. Yeah. There's a door that needs to be opened there, and that's a conversation that has to be had. Mm. And I'll finish off with two people then. One is Daniel Matting, who is also from South Sudan. He'll play at UC Riverside. And I think he's going to start in the middle of the season because he's coming off because he's transferring. But I think he's a really sneaky talent, 6'9", kind of a wing. So I think the NBA could be in his future, potentially. And then the last one is Sam Frohling, brother of Harry Frohling, who's currently with the Adelaide 36ers. Sam Frohling's going to play at Creighton. He's a freshman. I think he's going to get big minutes as a freshman. He's a really skilled big man, 6'11". So I think he's one to look out for
as
well.
What team did you say that was?
Creighton.
Was Creighton.
Blue Jays.
Thank you.
And then there are some just stretched all over the place. You've got Isaac White at Stanford. You've got Jacob Rigoni at Quinnipiac. There are a lot of guys out there. I think we'll have more than 60 Australians in NCAA Division I playing basketball. So check that out. More in the women's side. It's so difficult to cover everything, but just keep in mind that the talent is rich. It's not necessarily elite, which I'll put that out there. The next elite player is Josh Green out of Sydney in Florida, just committed to Arizona. So we'll keep an eye out on him. He'll probably be a top 10 pick next year. Keep an eye on that
Josh
kid.
Josh Green. Went through a lot of names there.
So many names.
On the topic of a lot of names.
Sure.
Charlotte Hornets. Sneaky good this year, right?
Yeah.
A lot better than we thought they'd be. They're 500 after 10 games.
I like their pieces.
That's what I was getting at. A lot of names. A lot of names on the Hornets got double digits today. 7 players digits. That is unbelievable. Yeah, it was versus Cavs, so, you know, just share it around. Everyone gets a bucket. I get it. But a lot of the people would have thought the Hornets are a shoo-in for an early lottery pick. For those not in the know, I know Bill Simmons picked them to sneak in to the 8 on his podcast in the East, but I've got to stop using Australian references. Sneak into the 8. I'm from Newcastle, guys. So I mean, go easy on me. But
I quite know you.
But yeah, Charlotte Hornets. You know, Kemba.
Well, Kemba's exceeding expectations. He's playing really, really well. Tony Parker is
one of the players who got double digits today. Tony Parker
and Malik Monk. I think he's slowly emerging into this, you know, really exciting, dynamic two-man that we all wanted him to be.
And I think Kidd Gilchrist is probably my favorite positional change this year. Putting him at the 5 has been really, really exciting to watch.
He's like Draymond Light.
Yeah, sure.
I'm a better shooter than him. I am.
Oh, it's because his shot is the ugliest.
It's broken.
Yeah.
It's properly broken.
Yeah. Proper athlete, great defender.
Yeah.
Runs the court. Can do his best. He'll do his best, but come on, man.
Like, if you don't like Lonzo's or Ben Simmons's or Kevin Martin's,
yeah,
whomever.
If you don't know what we're talking about, Google it. Get it on the YouTube. Michael Kidd-Gilchrist shot. Have a laugh. Enjoy yourself. Brutal.
Are we going to end on Michael Kidd-Gilchrist's trash jump shot?
Yeah, why not? Yeah. Why not?
I like that.
Sorry, Michael.
So next week, we'll end on this. The games to look out for. You know, we've got Rockets Pacers. That's an interesting one because the Rockets have not looked good at all, and the Pacers are starting to look a lot better. Sabonis is doing his thing off the bench as well. I feel like that's an interesting barometer game for both teams.
Yeah, right? Big time. I think it'll be really telling for the Rockets because now they're coming up against elite perimeter defenders. In Oladipo. Darren Collison is defending really nicely. Tyreek Evans is playing really well. Bogdanović?
Yep.
Yeah. He's playing really well as well. I think that's going to be a really, really good game.
Where is it?
I think it's in Indiana.
Okay, that's good because Houston are 0-4 at home this year.
Jesus.
Oh.
Wow.
Not cool.
Coming from the best record in the NBA last season to that?
Yeah.
Not ideal.
No. Yeah.
Another game is Celtics at Nuggets. So if we judge them at the time of the recording of this podcast, the top two, they're the second team in their respective conferences.
Mm-hmm.
Celtics are doing what they're doing. Like I said before, I think they've got some suspect things going on, but they're an elite defensive team, and then you've got the Nuggets.
Is that top defense versus top offense?
Probably, yeah.
So that'll be really interesting.
That's going to be fun, hey?
Yeah, what wins out, the offensive game of the NBA at the moment, or does defense still win?
Well, hopefully Denver have to use Jokic as an offensive focal point because that'll be fun. Watching someone trying to stop Jokic as Jokic is trying to put on points.
Yeah.
I want to see that.
Mm. That's true. And then one more is Raptors at Utah.
That's a juicy game.
Yeah. Because I think they're just two really wholesome teams. They've got a lot of pieces, interesting systems, respectively, and it's almost a barometer game for those two teams as well. The Jazz haven't looked great.
They're on a three-game schneid as well. Lost three straight.
The Jazz.
Yeah, the Jazz have, sorry. Also,
Donovan Mitchell went down with a little injury today.
0-3 at home, Utah. That is surprising. They had one of the best home court advantages.
They've got a cool crowd. Smart.
I think it'll be really, really interesting to see who the Raptors put Kawhi Leonard on. Are they going to say, you know what, go out, lock down
Joe Ingles
and Mitchell?
Put him on slow-mo, Joe.
The last time an Australian marked Leonard, it did not work out well for Ben Simmons. Ben Simmons looked like me trying to defend Kawhi Leonard. What was the goal of that? Yeah, he's bigger than that, Ben. Get up close. Look big. He looks small. Kawhi made him look small. Yeah,
Kawhi stripped him so many times.
Oh, man.
11 turnovers, but you got to put Kawhi on slow-mo, Joe.
Yeah, at least
it's
Simmons.
Done.
At least Simmons looked better on Blake Griffin today. No.
Oh.
Stop getting schooled on D.
Oh, the fight for
Kendall. I think if Donovan Mitchell plays, I think they put Kawhi Leonard on Donovan Mitchell.
Man, that's going to be a tough night for Donovan Mitchell.
Yeah, opening the door for Joe Ingles to just go crazy.
Yeah.
As usual. Bang.
Nice.
We're rooting for Slow-Mo Joe. That's it. That's a wrap. That's a wrap for today. Again, we are under the Fox Sports Australia umbrella, so please follow, like our pages on Twitter at Fox Basketball. We're all on Twitter, I think. Ted's not on Twitter. Yeah. Or if he is on Twitter,
I need to change my
it.
Twitter name. It's not appropriate to mention on it. I'll do that. Next week, I'll have a Twitter handle.
Harrison, what's your Twitter?
I'm not sure.
All right.
I think it's at Harrison Pullinger.
We're running. We're trying. We're going to jog. We're going to catch up with the 21st century event.
Social media.
You can follow me at Olgan Ulich.
There you go.
Just my name. If you want to find Harrison, just search his name and then find which one. There aren't that many Harrison Pullingers out there.
Yeah, same as Ted Smith. All right. On that
Like us on Fox Basketball. We'll see you next week.
Cheers.
Bye-bye now.